Hello and welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast, where we dive into all things software automation. I'm your host, Nandan Mullakra. While I'm not podcasting, I write articles on nandan.info. I hope you enjoy the show. Let's get right into it. Today we have Prashant Hinge. He is the Vice President, Automation and Employee Experience at the Hanover Insurance Group. Hanover is a leading provider of property and casualty insurance in the United States. Prashant and team have built an intelligent automation practice at Hanover that's centered around AI for improving employee experiences. In this chat, we discuss Hanover's automation program, the role of AI and RPA, best practices, unstructured data, and more. Let's listen in. Hi, Prashant. Welcome to the Bot Nirvana podcast. It's wonderful having you today. Can we start with a quick intro?
Sure. Thanks, Nandan. Thanks for having me here. My name is Prashant Hinge, and I lead the automation and employee experience capabilities for the Hanover. And Hanover is a PNC company based out in Worcester, Massachusetts, that sells various property and casualty insurance products, from specialty lines to personal insurance like home, auto, umbrella, and to core commercial lines products.
Okay, great. So you've got an automation program, right? How did that come about to be? What do you call it?
Yeah. Our automation program is called Enterprise Automation Practice.
Okay.
And it came about, I think, almost 3 years ago now, as the company was looking at different avenues to further modernize the workflows and processes and start catering to the needs of agents, customers, and employees in a different way, as the expectations have shifted, as we've become more digital. That was at an industry level. We saw a lot of movement, a lot of investment around automation and digital products and data and analytics. So this was a kind of part of that exercise that this came about. And overall, the way since this started since 3 years ago now, what we are really focused on from an automation perspective is two things primarily. One is around how do we reduce friction for our employees, and how do we create tools and solutions that are enabling us to serve our stakeholders, in this case, our agent and our customers, in a better way. So those are the primary goals that we are trying to achieve through this automation program. And we are a federated program. We support automation across the enterprise, and we also build our own automation solutions.
Okay. Wow. And so 3 years, so, you know, what have you seen over these 3 years in terms of how have you progressed in terms of, you know, your technology landscape, your governance landscape, you know, overall program?
Right.
Can you share a bit?
That is a great question. And I think I'm most proud of the work that we've done around mindsets, most importantly.
Excellent.
That not thinking about automation as the end all be all. Mm-hmm. It is a combination, in my view, of technology and process and change. All three come together for the magic to happen. And with that spirit in mind, we made a conscious effort to start looking beyond RPA right from day one, because of all the industry information and data that was available, accessible, and it did inform our strategy, our tool selection, our capabilities in a meaningful way, so that we are really focused on what are the business problems that we are trying to solve, how do they align strategically, how does what do we do align strategically with the business strategy, and what are the tools and technology that we need to make that happen. So it was more of a strategy-based approach rather than a tool-based approach that we took. And I think the reason why we've evolved and matured and we have scaled is because of the right governance around it. We built an automation delivery lifecycle that has evolved a couple of times. Third, and most importantly, in my view, from a governance perspective, it is I'm most proud of the work that we've done around ensuring that we are meeting the business needs and also aligning with the technology roadmaps. So it doesn't become a thing on the side. It's actually integrated in how we do things, how what we are doing is enhancing the culture, is enhancing our core capabilities as a company in moving it forward. So those were some things that we've done in the past and evolved, and we continuously go forward and evolve. And all of that, in my view, was possible because of two things mainly from a capability perspective. Was we really focused on AI at the very beginning. So machine learning, computer vision, natural language processing, and other core capabilities. And secondly, also made a conscious decision to focus a lot on cloud and cloud-based products so we can scale and also achieve our goals, but at the same time be cost conscious from a long-term perspective, right? So those two things have kind of helped us to expand the scope, to grow the team, to scale the automation solutions, and all wrapped up in that governance framework that allows us to do this consistently well.
So I like, you know, you've been using AI from the get-go and you've been driven by that. And so from an insurance perspective, insurance industry perspective, what do you think, where do you think AI is adding most value?
I think first, AI is still in its infancy, in my view.
Right.
Narrow AI use cases are usually the ones that are most successful. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything that's going to just hover over a department or a function and predict or solve or transact yet. I don't think we are there yet. So I think that's a caveat that I want to add. And now, stepping back, if you look at insurance, insurance is a legacy industry that is on the inflection point where we are transforming, right? Mm-hmm. Every insurance company is going through some different kind of or level of transformation, starting from legacy modernization to digitization of products to enhancing the experiences for B2B, B2C, or even employees, right? So there are different flavors of innovation or transformation that is happening in the industry as such. Now, if you step back and if you see the life cycle or the value chain, that is kind of pretty consistent, right? Starting from distribution, sales cycles to acquisition, underwriting, claims, and then you have corporate functions like you would have in all the other companies. So that construct is pretty consistent across the company, across the industry. And what we and what has happened over a period of time is there has been a lot of across this value chain, in my view, there have been breaks, there have been fragmentation that has happened as we have adopted new technologies, as we have adopted new capabilities as an industry, right? So that means we really are at the end of the day looking at many, many small tasks and processes instead of one giant process cutting across the board, right? And that is sometimes also true because you need that in order to be nimble and receptive to the needs of your agent partners or customers, right? So fragmentation is one big opportunity, in my view, within insurance. And that's where I think automation plays a key role, where it allows you remember what I said, it's about technology, process, and mindset. It allows you to look at process first, reimagine what that new process is going to look like, include human in the loop, and then look at those individual pieces, Lego pieces that connect together as a solution, right? So consistently, I think there are tremendous opportunities in underwriting space, in claims, even in corporate functions. And basically, they fall in one of these categories. One is decision making, right? How am I ensuring that I'm providing the right information to an individual, be it an accountant, be it an underwriter or an adjuster, for that matter, so that you can make an informed decision? And second, how are we intelligently inserting individuals into a process wherever there is judgment needed and taking away that manual and the intensive work out of it and keeping the crucial and the more curious work with the human? So I think it's that combination of two.
So for a person, you know, building out a program right now, what would you suggest would be the best way to build out that program?
That's an interesting question. If you're building out a program right now, I think I would still do a couple of things that anyone should if they are building out any new program in this space, or I think in any of the modern technology space, is first look at the business need and understand the business strategy and the technology strategy that the company has developed over a certain period of time and see how you can augment yourself in it. Because what happens more often than not is we fall in love with the tools and miss the big picture on what the outcomes that you're trying to drive. So in order to avoid that, that's what I would do first is truly understand that, make sure there is executive buy-in, make sure you are articulating how you can bring in or build new capabilities that are going to further that strategy forward in order for you to get the wind behind your back that is needed. Second thing I would say is start with the governance, roles and responsibilities, decision points, technology, understanding the technology toolkit that is available today, and just doing that homework that is needed, building that foundation, building the right rigor that is needed for you to for information, for data, for process, for an opportunity to travel from point A to point B. And then third becomes, now look at either it's a build-on, it's a bolt-on or a built-in discussion, depending on what projects that you have ongoing and what capabilities you have. Then you decide what are some of those two or three core capabilities that I need to actually augment this particular journey that the business is on and align with that and go and look for that. So that's when you go out and bring in what is needed that is going to augment that journey for the future. And the last thing I would say is in this entire piece, be it your team or be it the extended business and the technology partners, build the relationship and trust. Because in your head, you can go 100 miles an hour, but if the organization change management happens at a certain pace, you cannot rush experience or you cannot rush progress. And that's when you might get demotivated or deflated because and wonder why it's not working. It's probably why, because you're not spending the time and effort to build that equity within your ecosystem of partners.
So thank you for sharing that, Prashant. So from an, let's say just the overall governance framework, you know, what are the things, like probably three things that work best for you in your program?
I think I would say the very first thing is how are we setting up the project, right? Mm-hmm. Is probably the most time consuming and the most important step in this entire downstream life cycle. So, am I making sure that I have the buy-in from the business? Is the value clearly articulated for the project that I'm going to deliver? Are my technology partners in sync? Because in some shape or form, you're going to need to partner with them and get their buy-in and make sure if you need resources, if you need integration help, or if you need any other assistance, they can provide it to you. But kind of integrated planning is extremely important upfront. Otherwise, it just becomes a thing on the side. And that's where projects can get up to 80% and miss out on the last 20, right? So that, in my view, is a very important first step. The second is the solutioning bit of it, right? Which is, now that I have a scope and a boundary identified, am I leveraging a new pattern or an existing pattern? And within my existing pattern, are there any new or old integrations that I'm leveraging? And acknowledging and understanding that, because that really helps you to come up with the right scope and the timeline that is needed that and that you can commit to, right? Because if you are assuming everything a la carte or everything small, medium, high, I think those kind of labels at a very high level, they make sense. But when you really dig deep into the project level, even one slight new integration can throw your project off by quite a few weeks. So it's important that's from a solution design that happens. And then the last thing I would say, to be honest, from a governance standpoint, it's very, in my experience, what I've learned is you can get 90% there and the 10% can take more time than it took you the 90% to get to the final, to get it over the finish line. Right. And it could be many reasons, right? It could be sponsorship issues. It could be some delays during the project. It could be some technical upgrades that have happened or security upgrades that have happened. There could be many, many different factors. It could be people exiting your project and coming from business, from technology, from automation. It could be many reasons. So just know that's a whole different skill set. Have people on your team who have the capacity and the capability, if needed, push it over the finish line the right way, because in my view, that is the most hard thing, because now you are getting business to be ready for what the new change is going to look like and who are they going to call when there is an issue. You are making sure you are integrating with the incident, the problem management processes that you have. You're trying to figure out from a support perspective, what is it going to take for you? And then at the same time, you're trying to make sure all your integrations are working well and it's all well-rounded. So that is where the most activity happens, in my view. And that really determines how long this project is going to be successful or it's going to need more work. Does that help?
Yeah. And the last mile problem, I can really relate to that. You know, the last 10% is the hardest to get past, right? So from that perspective, you know, what would you suggest for people to get across that last 10%?
I think not having first acknowledging that last 10% is going to be hard is important.
Right.
And having a slightly modified governance rigor in that last 10%, the moment you are finishing UAT and you are going into hypercare or about to, I think first acknowledging is important. Mm-hmm. Second, I would say timely reviews and excessive reviews in some cases have also helped.
Okay.
And third, if there is an escalation path that you have defined and we should for each and every project, and if the project is in this last mile, I would be hyper-escalating issues to make sure that this is done and not following the normal channel. Because for you, it's the last 10%, not for the 90% of the organization who are doing their day-to-day jobs, right?
Correct.
So I think that's important to recognize that what kind of information do you share, who you're pinging, the frequency of it, and the energy that you need to show is different in the last. And it's almost like you need a designated hitter who can take you over the finish line and with a very high success rate.
Yeah, no, and it's a tough question, right? And there's no right answer for that or no easy answer. But yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So now just moving to technology, you know, what could be three technologies? I know you started around AI, but around AI, what are the three technologies that made a lot of impact for you, right? Like, I think you did explore intelligent document processing, IDP, for example. So what are like the three things that made a great impact to your program?
Great question. I think the very first thing I would say is the content extraction, intelligent document processing, whatever we were on the call, right, was a game changer for us.
Great.
That is something that truly helped us to understand how much can you scale, how quickly and how deep can you go into a use case, and truly helped us think through our overall framework, and we build around that, right? So that for me is definitely, especially for insurance who deal with a lot of documents, free flow information, lots of unstructured dark data of sorts,
right,
for us, that was certainly something that was extremely useful right from the get-go.
Okay.
Along with that, in my view, from a tooling perspective, process discovery was another core capability, not process mining, but process discovery, basically something that allows you to expedite your business requirements gathering. While it's still a work in progress for us, but I think that kind of opened up our eyes to say you can now scale business requirements and at the same time gather more metadata information about the task, the process, the application than you did before. So that's kind of was a good happy medium for us. And the last thing I would say is low code technology for something like Microsoft tools like Power Apps and others that we felt were, as we talked about the last mile in there, in the project lifecycle, this was the last mile from a UI perspective. So how do you bring a human in the loop? While it's simple,
right,
it's intuitive, but now it humanizes automation, right? It's not something that's running behind the scenes. It's really about now I am interacting with a UI and I know what's going on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So giving that power back to the people, and we've been very conscious about how we do that and do that strategically in a way that creates the right environment for our teams also, right? So
mm-hmm.
I think those were the three core capabilities, and RPA would be the fourth one because it really helps us towards the start or at the end or in the middle, and truly becomes that last mile solution also,
right,
when you need to and when you don't have a lot of investments to make and do direct integration. So RPA definitely comes in handy.
Great. And, you know, I like to, some interesting points you said there, and I like to double click on a couple of those things. So first is intelligent document processing, or the whole dark data, unstructured data part of it, right? And you said it's the most important thing probably in the insurance industry and many other industries. Having gone through that, what were your learnings and how do you get to, we never get to 100%, right? It's probably 90-95%. I don't know if you agree or not on where you can get to in terms of unstructured data extraction. But how do we ensure that you have a successful intelligent document processing along with an automation program?
Great question. I think what I'll start with is what not to do.
Right.
Not to think of it as a sprint, it's a marathon.
Interesting.
Second, if you're expecting 100%, mm-hmm. Then you should just wait for another 5 to 10 years for AI to go from narrow to I don't know what the next stage is.
Right.
Because it's always, it's what we've realized is that to your question about it's 80 or 100 or 90, what we've always seen is it really depends on the use case. And as an industry or as a capability, it is still developing. It's still maturing.
Right.
And it is going to take us time for us to come with baseline numbers right off the gate, right? That this kind of use case takes you Y, X, and this takes you Y. So I think we have to set the broader point is realistic expectations that this is going to be a marathon. It's going to take you 12 to 18 months to just settle it in, figure out the right governance model, do a couple of use cases, promote them in the organization, and create a backlog or a pipeline. That seems to be like a better approach. And second, in terms of quality, think about it as you want a tool that can go from 60 to 95 or 98 in weeks and not months or years. Right. If your tool can do that, that is great. But if you're expecting 95 right out of the gate, and if you want to go there from 60 to 98 tomorrow and you're starting today, probably not the best capability for you to explore. You're better off just waiting and looking at it, looking at these capabilities down the road, because it's still maturing. There is still human in the loop that is needed, and it still takes time and effort to do it the right way.
Yeah, and I like it that, you know, it's more about patience. It's a marathon rather than a sprint. You got to be in the longer term, right? And I think we're coming to like a pattern, right? Like there's a last mile problem to everything, and we need to be cognizant of that, right? And just like the self-driving car, you know, we are almost there, but not there. And so I think this is like I think it's called an asymptotic problem, where, you know, you will keep on getting nearer and nearer, probably not there, but you know, you still can use the technology a lot. It's there for us to use, as you said, patience, you know, keep right. improving and you get there, right?
And plan for it, right?
Yeah.
So it's okay to be, in my view, it's okay to know that there are going to be surprises and you're right. going to respond to those surprises. Mm-hmm. I think going in with an extremely optimistic and overly optimistic view can be, and setting expectations with that view can be detrimental to the overall program. But to your point, even with 60% or 70%, there is a way for you to capture value, improve the employee's experience, and also deliver what you did in previous manual work in weeks, days, or minutes, which is okay. It doesn't have to be all instant in less than 2 seconds, right? So I think that is a piece we really have to think about and look at it as a journey and a marathon, and nothing is a sprint. Yeah.
Have you tried citizen development?
We have in limited capacity. So like I said, we are a federated model. We support automations across the board. We have a automation community that we use to educate, train, and nurture and help along the life cycle of use cases. But we have not gone full blown. We don't have a kind of an official citizen development program, but people are aware in the organization that for you to learn a new technology, they know the avenues where they can go. They know the places where they can be in order to learn more about that. So depending on their interest, and we have some great success stories, depending on the interest, we align the solutions or tools or just handle them throughout that journey.
And so in terms of what you're seeing coming up, do you have a roadmap where you like to go, things you like to implement and for your automation program?
In my view, the solutioning is going to be a couple of things that I'd like to see or would happen, which I predict is the solution is going to be much more integrated with our core technology and our business partners. It is now, but it's further going to be much more integrated in the future. Mm-hmm. And automation or AI, it's going to be an important part, but just one part of the entire puzzle that we are mm-hmm. trying to solve. So that's where I see this going. Second is, in my view, there are going to be, I think, newer tools. What we saw in the last 5 years in the market is a lot of single trick ponies coming out with very one specific thing that you do really well. But I'm kind of sensing that we're going to see a lot of integrated solutions as big players come into this space where they have all-in solutions built into the platform. I think that's a few years out, but I think that's second thing, which is going to come in where you have core platforms with AI capabilities embedded in them, right? Of some kind. And for us, I think specifically, as we evolve, it is going to be about how do we really enhance that straight-through experience, straight-through processing experience for our employees, for our agents, and our customers. Basically, that's what it all boils down to, right? We all want Amazon or a Uber experience. So I think that's really the ultimate goal. But I like to call it out that it's straight-through with human in the loop. Right? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to go away. I think it's just going to be much more integrated with human and machines working very closely together.
And improving the experience, right? People experience, whether it is employees or stakeholders. Great. Yes. So Prashant, before we go, where can people find you?
I'm on LinkedIn, Prashant Hinge, P-R-A-S-H-E-N-T, last name H-I-N-G-E. Please reach out and share your information. We can either grab a coffee virtually or in person. So I think LinkedIn is the best way to reach me.
Thank you, Prashant. It's been great knowing you. Great stories out there. And thank you for sharing all that with our listeners today. Thank you very much.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining the Bot Nirvana podcast. Appreciate if you can leave a review on iTunes or Stitcher. Catch the show notes on botnirvana.org. While you're there, feel free to explore more automation ideas, tutorials, tools, and more. See you next time.